Welcome back to Just Scrap Radio on BJPenn.com. I'm your host, Cole Sheldon, in episode 17. We got a good lineup for you. First up, we're joined by Ian Heinisch to preview his UFC Vegas 13 fight against Brendan Allen. Really intriguing matchup. These two guys do not like each other. They're supposed to fight earlier this year. Obviously, Heinisch knocked out Allen's teammate, Gerald Meerschaert. It's been bad blood. We talked about that rivalry. What kind of Heinisch thinks this fight? And it's a really intriguing one. It's kind of a good step up for Brendan Allen. Can he get into the ranks like Ian Heinisch? And Ian Heinisch kind of compares this fight to him against Derek Brunson, where he just wasn't ready for that next step up. He thinks that's going to be the same with Brendan Allen. Allen's not there yet. Two former LFA champions should be a great scrap, but Heinisch just thinks he's either going to dominate him for three rounds or finish him early like Gerald Meerschaert, where he knocks him out quick. So that's sleeper fight, your fight of the night for me on this Saturday's card. Really looking forward to this fight. Pick 'em odds. Vegas doesn't even know who should win this fight, but that should be a great one. Then next up, we're joined by Max Griffin. Just before we get into it, a little technical difficulties with Griffin at the end. He lost his signal, so the interview does end a bit abruptly, but I only had one more question, so I just did it over text with him just so I could fill you guys in. It was, if you want one more in, he said, yeah, he's down for it if that's what the UFC wants, but we preview his fight against Ramiz Brahimaj. Really fired up Max Griffin. He's not happy about what things are going. Two-fight lose streak. He doesn't think he's getting the respect he deserves fighting a UFC newcomer who hasn't fought in over a year against some jiu-jitsu guy, he called him. And he doesn't think he's a UFC caliber really either. So Griffin says he's going to really dominate Ramiz, not allow him to get him down to the ground, and maybe even finish him. He thinks he could either knock him out or drop him and then submit the jiu-jitsu guy. He thinks that would be good on his record, is to finish a jiu-jitsu guy on the ground. And then finally, we're joined by Ramiz Brahimaj to talk about the journey he's had to his UFC debut. If you guys didn't know, he's supposed to fight in the Contender Series against Miguel Baeza. And he ended up having a tumor in his eye that he got pulled out of that. And it's a year and a half gone by. He was signed to the UFC. He's supposed to fight Takeshita Soto earlier this year. His cornerman tested positive, so then he was pulled out. So talk about this long road to the UFC, but finally getting there. He's a guy at Fortis MMA, a camp I'm really high on. A lot of guys at Fortis talk very highly of him. So really excited to see his UFC debut. He thinks a win over Max Griffin is a big one because Griffin, he knows, is a fan favorite, a big name at welterweight. So if he can go and beat Max Griffin and even finish Max Griffin, big win on his record. So really hope you guys enjoy the show. Be sure to share the show on iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcast platforms. And thank you all for listening. Have a good one. All right, we're joined by UFC middleweight Ian Heinisch. Ian, how's it going?
I'm doing good, man. Doing real good. Train's going great. I'm excited. I just came back to Colorado to finish camp out at Genesis, and things are going good.
Let's get right into this fight. Brendan Allen, this is kind of like a rivalry fight. He's a guy that's been calling you out for quite some time. So what's it like to finally get this fight signed and booked again?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's cool. Like, you know, we've exchanged words from LFA all the way now to the UFC. He's on a little hot streak, but you know, I feel like I'm just gonna, you know, I got this mission in my head right now, and it's Hurricane 2.0, and it showed my last fight, and I'm just more comfortable in the cage. I know where I belong. It takes a lot to get ranked in the UFC, let alone, you know, make that run for the belt. So I feel like, you know, I'm finally falling into my own, and the new version of me has came out, and I feel like I'll destroy any man in my path right now. And Brendan Allen, just so happens that it's working out that we're going to get this fight, and I'm excited to take the fight. And but what has been upsetting me a little bit is that, like, Khamzat keeps saying that no one will fight him, and I know I have a fight on the books, but I'll fight that dude tomorrow. Like, they can double book me. I know all these rules are kind of being bent with COVID and just how the times are these days. And you know, me and Neil Magny, if he wants 170, Neil's there. If he wants 85, I'm right here. And I just heard Dana White talk about it today and say Neil's ready, but he forgot to mention at 85, I'm a ranked opponent, and I'm ready to fight him whenever.
Just going with this rivalry with Brendan, when do you think this kind of first started? Because it's been a couple years you guys have kind of been tweeting at each other, thinking about maybe a fight's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it started in LFA when I took my first loss, and then he fought for the belt, and then I don't really know, man. It doesn't feel like a rivalry for me because, you know, I feel like I'm on a different level than the kid. But, you know, I know he's going to come out tough. He's on a winning streak right now. But he saw what I did to his opponent, or I mean his teammate, Meerschaert, who – so these guys call me out, and then I'm delivering. So he's calling me out now, I'm going to deliver. And then, you know, I'm not looking past the kid. I know it's going to be a tough fight, but I feel like I don't feel a huge rivalry. I just feel like, you know, he's just a kid trying to make a lot of noise, which I would be doing in his situation. But I feel like I'm gonna show him what the levels are to this game and what a top 15 feels like.
Do you think this fight is similar to you and Derek Brunson, where a lot of people were saying, like, getting behind you a lot? And it was kind of just that it was a tough loss for you just because that was your kind of first real test in the top 10. And this is Brendan's first real tough test in the top 15.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, when I fought Brunson, you know, taking that loss was hard, but man, I learned so much. And just to see how Betty Brunson was, I learned a lot from him. Like, whether he knows it or not, I learned a lot from just the little adjustments he made in there, the little things he did that, you know, only someone with a ton of experience could. So I feel like that rubbed off on me a little bit. And I felt like I grew a lot. Obviously, I lost another close decision to Omari, but then I took some time off. I changed some things up. I really refocused, and I believe the 2.0 version of me came out my last fight, and you're going to see it again this fight.
And your last fight was that first UFC finish. So how relieving was that to finally get off that off your books?
Yeah, it felt good. It felt so good. You know, obviously it wasn't the climax that, you know, I was hoping for, you know, without the crowd. Like when I dropped Brunson with that head kick, you know,
Yeah.
I thought it was that was it. But you know, I learned a lot from that because I let the fans kind of affect my emotions in the cage, and now that I recognize that, I know I can change that. So you know, it felt so good to get my first UFC finish, and I truly believe there's many more to come.
Brendan Allen, he's a guy that's on a big winning streak, has a lot of hype behind him. Does this fight intrigue you where you beat him, you kind of steal a lot of his thunder he has going?
Yeah, I believe it's just a stepping stone to show that I belong where I'm at. And then, you know, I had to take a step back because I did lose to two ranked fighters. So I got to prove myself again, which beating Mearshart when he was on a huge a winning streak, and then taking out Brendan Allen when he's on the streak. And then I can look forward again and make that climb, continue the goal, the vision, the dream, and look for a ranked opponent, whether it's Vettori, whether it's Shahbazyan, whether anyone that, you know, that's ready. Like, I feel really confident in taking any of those fights. And I'm excited to hopefully get another one this year.
And your cardio, that's obviously one of your biggest strong suits. Do you think that's gonna, because even in that Dawkins fight, him and Dawkins, Allen and Dawkins both kind of looked tired in that third round. Like, do you think that's a big advantage for you is your cardio and you being able to go three hard rounds?
Yeah, you know, if it gets to that, yes, it's always, you know, I can dig deep mentally that, you know, just with the things I've been through in my life, I feel like I can pull that little bit out extra. And obviously with Brunson, I had that adrenaline dump. I wasn't feeling very good that whole fight week, just kind of fighting the cold, got real sick after. But yeah, I feel like the cardio is a huge thing. That's why I'm back in Colorado for the next 3 weeks, get that elevation training, get that push, and then I'll be back to Vegas and go get this W.
If you go out there and beat Brendan, are you hoping this is kind of it for all those Rufus Sport guys keep on calling you out?
Yeah. I mean, I don't. There's not many more that I know of that are in middleweight. So yeah, I think I'll put that to bed and you know, move on to the next gym, to the next opponent, to the next challenge, man. And that's why, like I've been saying, man, I love training with those Russians. That's why. I when I was 13 years old, I went out to Russia and wrestled these guys, and I was one of the only Americans to win the Moscow Open Invitational Wrestling Tournament. I represented USA. We went to Siberia. We dueled some guys, and then being out in Thailand with all the Dagestanis out there in Vegas, there's obviously a lot. I love that challenge. Those guys are mentally tough, and that's why I think, you know, Khamzat would be a great fight if he's looking for someone. He wants to keep it rolling. If he's still got that hype, I want to power up with that hype. So if he's ready, I'll be ready.
With Brennan, do you think you're actually a bad stylistical match for him? Because I was looking at it, I was like kind of breaking down a little. Because Brennan Allen likes to get these fights down the ground. He likes taking people down, kind of ground pounding them. He's not. I don't think he's going to take you down on the feet. I think you might even be the better striker. Like, do you think like it is a bad matchup for him?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, those grappling guys, they have a tough time. Look at Antonio Carlos Jr., one of the best grapplers in the UFC. And I weathered that storm, and I felt, you know, that level of grappling. And I'm the scramble king. You know, I'll scramble until these guys get tired, and I'll get back to the feet. And obviously, I know my striking's better. I feel like Brendan Allen's not very comfortable on the feet. He has decent clinch game, but clinch is one of my strong suits as well. So I feel like I'm better everywhere than this kid. And, you know, I feel like one day he's going to be great. He's young, he's hungry. But at this time right now, it's time to take his lesson and grow from it. And it's time for me to truly fulfill my destiny.
How do you see this fight play out? Because I think this is a one where I think if it goes late in the fight, I wouldn't be surprised if you finish him late in the fight.
Yeah, I believe it'll be either I'm going to finish him early, him coming in crazy, or I'll finish him late. I feel like if it's in the middle, it's just going to be a lot of scrambling and me just grinding him out until he's wore down and then finish him. Or I think I could catch him right off the bat because he loves to just blitz and kind of get like in your face quick. And I like that. So if he wants to step in that zone quick, I'm going to be letting him fly and one's going to land. So either early or late, but I see a finish for this fight.
What do you think a win over Brendan does for you? Do you think it just gets you right back to where you were? You're back to fighting ranked guys. You don't have to fight these non-ranked guys anymore.
Yeah, it's just a stepping stone, man. You know, I feel like, you know, a lot of these guys are tied up. They're have fights. They're injured. And, you know, he's available. And with the COVID and everything, things are a little crazy. So he's a tough opponent. He's hungry. He's up and coming. I got to kind of do what Brunson did and put these guys that are up and coming in their place, and then I can actually start to grow again and fight someone ranked higher than me and keep climbing.
You mentioned him. I want to Khamzat Chimaev. What do you make of him? Because he's a guy 3-0 in the UFC, but his first two wins they weren't really high level. Then he knocks out Jerald Meerschaert in the first round. You're a guy that you put Meerschaert away in the first round, just what, like 2 months before that.
Yeah, he knocked out Meerschaert like a minute faster than me. And obviously, first punch, I feel like Meerschaert was very hesitant. I just hope the guy takes a rest and let his head heal. I like the guy. You know, he's a good guy. He's a good opponent. He's a vet. I feel like he didn't give himself time to rest. And obviously, I know he's better than that. But I feel like Khamzat's good, man. He's game. He's got the mentality. I think it would be a fun matchup because I'm going to meet him in the middle. And we're going to fight for real. So if he really wants to test himself, if these top 10 guys, top 5 guys don't want to fight him, I'm a top 15 guy. You know, I'll be available. I'll make myself available if he's ready. I know Dana White can move some things around. I'll be ready. If they call me and they said, you're going to fight him tomorrow, I'm ready. So I just want people to know out there that if Khamzat wants to fight, if he needs a fight, I would love to accept that challenge.
Does that frustrate you a bit just seeing how much the UFC's pushing him and they already want to give him that top 5 guy, where like a guy like yourself, a lot of other guys, and you need like 5-6 wins before you even sniff a ranked guy?
You know, actually, you know, it doesn't bother me. Everyone's got their own path. Everyone's got their own journey. You know, I fought a ranked guy my second fight, co-main event in the UFC. So I've experienced some of that quick rise, and you know, he's got the hype. It's all about that hype. And I would love to power up with some of that hype. And, you know, like he said, if these guys don't want to fight him, I believe he's a great matchup for me. We can grapple. We can scramble. We can strike. Whatever he wants to do, it's going to be an exciting fight. Dana White would know that. Mick Maynard knows that. Sean does too. So, you know, if they're looking, stop looking. I'm right here. I'm in Denver. I'm ready. I could be out in Vegas next week or Fighter Island, whatever. So I like his journey. I like his mentality, and I would love the challenge.
Just a few more things. Obviously, this fight is in Vegas. Are you glad it's in Vegas and you're not having to travel all the way to Abu Dhabi?
You know, I would like to experience Fighter Island, but and I ain't no stranger to traveling those 15-hour flights. You know, I did it back and forth from Thailand. But, yeah, it's cool to be able to fight in, you know, next door. We've been driving back and forth from Vegas, training a little bit here. Training at Extreme Couture with Eric, and you know, I feel like I've grown so much, and you know, it's gonna be cool to fight Vegas. I love Vegas, but someday, hopefully before Fighter Island's done or they go back to the usual, I hope I get a fight out there.
And you mentioned you want to get one more in, so is the ideal time frame just get a win here and then get one probably one of those last couple cards in December?
Yep, yeah, exactly, that's it. I was on that card, UFC 245, when I fought Omari Akhmedov right before Christmas, and yeah, something around there, mid December, late December. Early December, depends how this fight, plays out. And but yeah, I want to get one more this year. It's been a slow year with COVID and getting injured before fighting Brendan Allen a few months ago. So, and then he got injured. So yeah, I hope I can get one more.
And just last thing, this will be your second time in the UFC, but then you also did the contender series with the no fans. Like, do you like the no fans, or do you wish they would be back to having those sold out crowds once they can again?
Yeah, I hope they get back to that. There's nothing like that energy. And I feel like a lot of these newer guys in the UFC, which are there's a ton of from the Contender Series to these guys taking short notice fights, they haven't felt that pressure of walking through that tunnel with thousands of fans screaming at them. And I'll be interested to see how that plays out. And also, I feel like I've grown a lot from the no crowd, and I'm ready to put that to practice as well with a big crowd, a sold out arena. And I want to get that knockout in front of all my fans and friends and family and friends, and get that buzz after. That's like the climax, It's like when I knocked Mearshard, I was like kind of like crickets. It was kind of like Contender Series, and I think I screamed at Daniel Cormier, "Why always knocking people out with no crowd?" So I want to change that and get a huge knockout in front of a sold out arena.
Well, Ian, thank you so much for the time again. I really appreciate
Thank
it.
you.
I were joined by UFC welterweight Max Griffin. Max, how's it going?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. This is got another fight booked against a UFC newcomer, Ramiz Brahimaj. How much do you know about him?
I know a little bit. There's not much to know. He's a grappler. He's good. He's a new guy, though. And I'm gonna show him what the UFC is about. Show him what it's like.
Do you kind of wish this wasn't your fight and you were getting another striker? Because I think those are the fights you really look forward to, like those Cowboy Oliveira ones, the Mike Perry ones, where it's just going to be a striking matchup.
No, I really don't care, man. I really like fighting new guys too. This guy's saying talks about how he's gonna come, submit me and all that. Like, I'm not one of these backyard regional guys. I know he trains with, he trains with some good guys at Fortis, UFC guys, but I'm different, bro. Fighting in the UFC is different than training with UFC guys, and especially a mean guy like me.
And your last fight, like, I thought you beat Cowboy Oliveira. Like, how different do you think everything would be if you got that win? Like, you wouldn't probably be taking on a UFC newcomer.
Yeah, what can you do? Yeah, a lot of my fights are like that. But now I'm working on a few things, working on different things, switching to southpaw. Having a lot more fun now too. I've been so serious. I have a new mental coach, and my best performances is when I'm having a good time. Like the last time I had a real good time with Mike Perry, I had fun. So I'm having fun with this guy. I'm gonna beat him up and finish him. I kind of want to submit him. We'll see.
Your last fight was the last event with fans. Like, how weird is that to look back? Like, everything that's gone in this year, you were that last event that had that sold out crowd.
It was freaking wild, bro. I loved it. I loved it. The blood, we were slanging, And but now it's kind of more martial arty. I've kind of been enjoying watching the fights with no sound. You hear the strikes, you hear the coaches. It's more real. It's more I think the judging's better. The judges aren't influenced by the crowd. And it's gonna be like being in the gym. Me and you, silence and destruction. It's gonna be beautiful.
Your guy, like, your record, like, God, it looks a bit worse than actually
It's fucked.
just because, like, that Thiago Alves fight, every single person knows you beat Thiago Alves. That Cowboy Oliveira fight, a lot of people thought you beat him. You turn those losses into wins, like, your record's looking pretty good. Like, so is that add more pressure to get a finish and not let judges get involved in your fights?
No, I mean, pressure's whatever, man. Even the Alex Morono fight, that I just fought. All he did, his teammate. I mean, beat him. I beat him for the whole 15 minutes. He kicked me 40 seconds at the end of the second, but I torched him in the third round. Beat the shit out of him. So you could arguably say I'm on a 4-fight win streak. So it's like the just you look at my record and it's like, oh, he lost four. It's like I don't mind that, because I've been tearing these guys up. If you look at who these guys have beaten and my competition and how these guys look against other guys, I'm on none of their highlights. You know, these guys all have they know how these fights went. So I feel great. I'm getting better every fight. And like I said, I've been changing a few things up. I'm going to alpha male a little bit, working with a lot of those guys. I'm ready to smash this guy, dude. I'm going to play with him and put him away. Put him away early, too. He's not on my level, man. And I'm going to show everybody.
Do you kind of view this as like a do-or-die fight for your UFC career? Losing three in a row is never a good thing. But, again, you're a fan-favorite guy. Like, I don't really think the UFC would want to cut you.
No, I don't think so. I don't look at it like that. I don't think about losing ever. But this guy is going to let me – he's not going to let me do anything, but I'm going to dominate him and embarrass him, period.
He is a grappler guy, so do you kind of view this as you just got to stuff the takedowns on the feet? You're probably a much better striker.
Any guy that stuffed – so he, you know, he's won all eight fights by submission. He lost two out of his last four. By decision, by just guys that are okay, but just local guys, they just stuff the takedown. So anyone that has any kind of takedown defense beats him. And all the guys he submits are just gumshoe guys that, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm going to stuff the takedown. He won't even be close to take me down. I'm going to beat the brakes off him. You can't just act like you're a – you can't lie to me and say that you're not a grappler, bro. If – grapplers don't like getting hit. You could ask any grappler. They don't like getting hit. That's why they grapple. Period. So he's going to get hit. He's going to get touched up. I'm going to put him away. If he doesn't go to sleep like that, I'm going to submit him after he gets knocked. So I'm really looking forward to it, bro. I'm excited for this. And I feel like he's a gift. And I'm going to open him up.
Dude, this is like a fight that could be like a statement win for you, where you can remind everyone, like, man, like, you got to stop giving me these kind of guys.
Yeah, man. I think, yeah. I mean, they'll learn. They're going to learn after this one. Yeah, these new guys, man. These new guys come in there with all this piss and vinegar. And I'm finishing, bro. It's going to be delightful. Like, I've been working on this with all my training partners. I have this new attitude, bro. I'm telling you, I have this whole new outlook on everything about being in a good mood and calm. It's like I've been so stiff, get so stiff. And sometimes when you fight these guys, I mean, I fought the cream of the crop, bro. And it's different. It kind of puts you in a different mindset fighting these guys, Oliveira, the Perrys. I mean, the whole list of guys I fought, bro. Dangerous guys. The most dangerous guys. Eliza, Zaleski, Dos Santos. We fought some serious guys, dude. Like, scary guys. Oh, you're fighting him? This guy's not one of those guys. Not taking anything away from him, but he's not. He hasn't been in there with these guys. This is my 10th UFC fight. And I've been in there with the best. Colby Covington. Dude, I've been in there with all the best guys. And, I got the wisdom now, bro, and I'm gonna show this guy the business.
Well, you mentioned it there. You have 10 UFC fights. He doesn't have a single one. How much do you think that experience, just that whole UFC fight week, making the walk, like the Octagon jitters, all that, how do you think that's gonna play a factor?
It matters, bro. Even though there's no fans, it matters. And like I said, he trains the UFC guys. It's different from my first fight in the UFC to now, bro. It's night and day. I was a baby, you know. Mentally, everything. I'm gonna show him what to do, and with a smile. Oh, bro, I can't wait.
And he's a guy that hasn't fought since March of 2019. Like, it's been a long time. So how do you get that layoff? Like, yeah, you're closing in on a 2-year layoff almost for him not fighting.
You know, yeah, it's all about me. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And he thinks he's ready to go. But I've trained so hard. I'm so mentally prepared. I'm so spiritually prepared. He can't see me, bro. he's a jiu-jitsu guy, but I roll black belts. I mean, it's nothing new, bro. It's nothing new. I fought so many good guys that are black belts. Like, everyone I fought was a black belt. This guy's like a purple belt or something. You know what I mean? Like, there's levels, bro. And I'm like, watch this shit. I'm telling you, fucking, I can't wait.
And he is teammates with Alex Morano, you fought. So this is kind of like a redemption, get one back on that camp.
I beat up Alex Morano. After I talked to him at backstage, we're like, well, you know, we were hoping you weren't going to wrestle as much, you know. He tried to run the whole fight, and then he caught me with that kick. In the third round, I had like 4 takedowns, blitzed him after getting kicked in the head. I'm telling you, bro, they can't see me. And they think they watched my last fight and this and that. And he ran the whole time and kicked me. So, I learned a lot from guys that's trying to run, you know. And I'm not going to be so head on. I'm going to move. I got a lot more to show. And this, I'm actually going to be able to show it. When I'm having a good time, I let all my shit fly. So you better watch the fuck out.
Do you think people are overlooking your wrestling? Because every time you see this fight is a striker versus grappler. But look at that Morano fight. You were taking him down. A lot of your fights, you initiate
the wrestling. He's a black belt. I mean, what did he do to me? You know, Alex Morano, he had how many guillotine chokes? He submitted how many guys? And what did he do to me? Nothing. You know what I mean? So, who's a better grappler, Morano or this guy? You know? Tell me that.
If you go by the belts, it's Morano.
Right?
So and it's like, he's proven his grappling in the UFC. We haven't seen Ramiz grappling in the UFC.
No. And not against me. I'm not some schlub that's going to get grappled, period. Period dot, bro. And if he thinks I am, hey, you better come out with a different plan, because you're not a striker. So I don't know what the fuck he's going to do. He's going to get beat up and finished. I have this kind of attitude, too, because he said people – I didn't hear anything he said, but people were telling me that he said he's going to come in here to submit me. Like, nah, bro. You know, that kind of got me on a – okay. You know, I love when people say dumb shit to me. I make them pay for it.
Just a few more things. You mentioned you were training at Team Alpha Male. Is that a full-time, or is that just kind of where you can get in there?
No, I'm there a few days a week. I'm there Mondays, Wednesdays, sometimes Thursdays. But yeah, they're my guys, bro. We get it in. We get it in over there. I'm wrestling with a ton of great guys over there. Chris Holdsworth, fucking all these guys, dude. They're miraculous. These guys are some of the best grapplers in the world. Period. Dude, when you grapple some of these guys, bro, like, I've grappled so many good guys, and some of these guys are the best in the world, bro. So, if this guy, like I said, if he thinks I'm just all of a sudden gonna get submitted, he better figure something else out.
Well, was that a move for this camp, or was that you've been there before?
I worked a little bit for my last fight at Oliveira over there. I got some little sparring in with my guy Slava Borshev, who's no joke, like a 15-time K-1 world champion. So I started going over there for that to get some sparring in with them. And then my manager, Dave Hirschbein, started working with them. They partnered with Uriah. So we're doing a lot of cross-training every week. You kind of united Sacramento together. I was fighting a lot of those guys on the regional scene. They needed some big guys. Hey, I love the good work. So we merged. So I'm over there a few days a week. I'm at MMA Gold and I'm at Mara Nobles Kickboxing. So I got those three, do my S&C at Game Fit. And our powers combined, baby. It's going to be a wrap for this guy. Everywhere. Cardio, heart, everything. It's fucking everywhere, bro. Everywhere. He shouldn't even be in there with me, but he is. So sorry for him.
You haven't fought since March. Were you hoping to get in there a bit sooner, or is this kind of that right time frame for you?
Yeah. You know, I was trying to, but COVID hit, you know? COVID hit. They asked me actually to fight, like, Takashi Sato on, like, a week's notice. And, like, you got me fucked up. Especially, you know, with COVID, the gyms were closed. That's nothing to gain from that. So, yeah, I wasn't going to fight on 7 days notice with COVID. I'm not.
I were joined by new UFC welterweight Ramiz Brahimaj. Ramiz, how's it going?
Ah, going great, brother. How you feeling?
I'm doing well. I'm finally making that UFC debut this week. Long time coming. Before we get into your fight, just to let people know, like, your story is kind of pretty crazy. You're supposed to fight on the contender series. And what was it? It was like a tumor or something that kept you out of that?
Yes, sir. It was an orbital tumor in my eye. So it was pretty unique. Something I never thought that was ever even there. Like I said, I mean, I didn't feel anything, you know, like usually sometimes people, they have blurred vision or they start to have headaches or anything like that. Fortunately for me, I didn't feel anything, you know, until they told me, hey, we found something in the MRI and we got to get it taken care of. And I was like, let's do it. But I was a little heartbroken, but here we are now.
When you found out that news, like, did part of you think, like, there goes my UFC dream for right now, just because that was the contender series? And then who knows how long you were going to be after that?
You know, it was a sobering moment for me, because not only did it halt my UFC dreams, but, you know, in general, my MMA career, I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, I didn't know how I would see after, you know, if everything was going to be good after the surgery. Am I going to have any weird effects from the surgery? So it was just a lot of emotions and a lot of thoughts running through my head. But, you know, everything went smooth and according to plan, thank God. So here we are now.
And then you get signed to the UFC, supposed to make your debut earlier this year. Then your cornerman test positive. What went through your head when that happened? It's like, of course that has to happen to me again.
Man, I was just like, you know, it's like when you get messed with so much, you're just like, I just kind of threw my hands up in the air. I chalked it up as a little bit of a loss, and I was like, dude, this sucks. And then as soon as that happened, I had to drive back from Las Vegas all the way to Dallas, Texas. So I had a lot of driving. I had a lot of thinking to do as I was driving, and I was like, man, you know, I was like, just keep myself in good spirits, you know?
And this fight against Max Griffin, I think this is actually a more notable name for you than Takashita Sato. Like, what was it like when you got this name across from you?
I've said it before. My last two bookings against Baeza and Takashi, I was super, super excited. And I was just ready to get in there and mix it up with these guys. And that level of excitement just rose up a little bit more. You know, once I got Max Griffin, I knew that this is a hell of a fight. And I know it's going to be a tough test, and it's something that I welcome with open arms, you know, and I'm super excited about.
Yeah, because he's a guy, he's fought like quite a few notable guys like Cowboy Oliveira, like Colby Covington, Mike Perry, but he's on a 2-fight losing streak, 1-4 in his last 5, so he could be fighting for his UFC job. Like, do you think that adds more, like, he's going to have to come out more for this fight just because this could be his do or die for his UFC career?
100%, you know, I don't expect any different Max Griffin. November 7th, I expect the toughest test of my career, you know. Every fight that I go into, I expect the toughest fight of my life. And that's what I prepare for in my training and everything like that. So, you know, it makes no difference to me whether somebody's on a 10-fight winning streak, on a 2-fight losing streak. I'm prepared for the best version of them.
And he's fought one of your teammates and someone I just talked to and you work with a lot, Alex Morano. How much has he been helping this camp just because he's fought him and Coach Dave has helped prepare him for it, Max, as well?
Oh, yeah. Alex Morano is an awesome guy. He's a guy that he's helped me out a lot in the past 2 years. You know, I've helped him, had the honor of helping him through his camps for his last 2 or 3 fights. And, you know, having him come up to Dallas and help me prepare for this Max Griffin fight, because I know he has a fight the following week after me, has been a real blessing, you know. And just, you know, kind of dissecting his brain a little bit, figuring out what to do, what not to do, and just learning a few things about Max Griffin. But like I said, at the end of the day, a fight's a fight. I'm expecting to fight the best Max Griffin November 7th, so I'm prepared.
And if people look at your run in LFA, it was impressive. A lot of quick finishes, and all of them are by submission. So do you think just because of that, your striking gets underlooked? Everyone just goes, oh, he's just a grappler. Oh, he's just a grappler. Striking's not going to be that good?
100%, you know, it doesn't bother me though, because at the end of the day, you know, I'm ready for wherever the fight goes. You know, if people say that about me, they say, oh, he's not a striker, he's not a complete mixed martial artist. You know, I mean, I train every day. I train with some of the best strikers in the world. I think I train with the best striker in my division, in Jeff Neal. So, yeah. You know, and standing in front of that guy and having to spar Uriah Hall and all of these guys, you know, I mean, these guys are no joke. These are top level, elite of the elite guys that I get to train with and I get to be in that room every single day with. So, you know, it doesn't matter to me what people say. I know what I'm doing.
Well, obviously, Max Griffin's more than that, just a striker. He's down to just the side of the octagon kind of throw down. But do you 100%. Think part of the game plan for you is get this fight down to the ground? Because I think you have a clear advantage if it hits the mat.
You know, like I said, I feel comfortable wherever the fight goes. You know, if the fight goes to the ground, then absolutely that's where I'm going to excel in. If the fight's on the feet, I don't mind it at all. You know, if we get in a straight striking match, I wouldn't mind it. If we get into a grappling match, I wouldn't mind it. Wherever the fight goes, you know, like I said, I'm prepared for a quick finish. I'm prepared for a 3-round war. In my head, I don't have any expectations. You know, I'm just I guess the only expectation that I have is just ready to go to war. You know, that's it.
And this is going to be your first fight in like almost 2 years, like a year and like 8 months, whatever it is. Like, what's that going to be like to finally be able to get back in there?
Oh, it's going to feel great. You know, I had a little bit of a unfortunate hiatus early on in my career, one that I did not want to do. But just with timing and with everything, with injuries, opponents falling out, I had that little problem, I think, right after my pro debut. So I hadn't fought for almost two years and like 3-4 months. So that was probably the longest layoff I ever had. But yeah, I'm going to feel at home, man. You know, come November 7th, when I step into that octagon, I'm just going to feel at a place where I belong. You know, like that's what I worked so hard to get to. And, you know, I truly do feel at home with the UFC, with this organization. And like I said, I just cannot wait till my 2 feet touch that canvas and I feel that cage. And I live in that moment. You know, that's where I feel like I'm going to shine the brightest.
I know you haven't had that UFC fight, but you already went through a full fight week, especially in this COVID era with all that testing and stuff. Do you think that's kind of a benefit for you, as you're not coming into this week brand new, you don't know what to expect? Even though you didn't fight, you already kind of did a whole fight week.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it was definitely helpful. You know, I don't like to think that was to my detriment, you know. It was definitely to my benefit. And then, of course, you know, being able to corner a couple of guys during this whole COVID outbreak, and getting to see how everything's run in Vegas. And then, of course, experiencing my own fight week that unfortunately fell through. But, I mean, it's just, I have nothing but good to say. And, I mean, it definitely does help a lot. You know, I know what to expect. I mean, it might be a little bit tighter now, you know, just because I know that I didn't have to follow as many protocols as I did the first time that I went into the fight week. Now we have to get tested prior to leaving to the airport, everything like that. So, you know, I'm just super excited, super ecstatic.
And Max Griffin's a really durable guy. He's only person to finish him in the UFC is Colby Covington. And since then, he's just been able to grind out decisions. So, like, how do you think, do you expect this fight to hit that later rounds? Because even if you do get a finish, like, he's one of those guys where he's tough to put away early on.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it doesn't matter to me. Like I said, I could see myself putting anybody away early. I could see myself putting anybody away anytime. So, I mean, even if it does go later on, it doesn't bother me. I've just been preparing for this, and I've been preparing for this moment, so I'm not too worried about it.
How much does it help having guys like Alex and Jeff and Uriah Hall? Like, there's some of those top guys, especially Jeff and Uriah, where they're around your weight class and they're peaking for those same dates. Like, Alex is fighting a week after you. Uriah's fighting a week before you. Like, you guys are all peaking for that same date.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. You know, sometimes I have to sit back and just take myself out of the element and realize, like, yo, I look where I am right now. You know, look who I'm surrounded by. And it's just, you know, when you're in the presence of something great, you truly know and you truly feel it. You know, at the end of the day, like I said, when I take myself out of that element and I look at it, I'm like, this is something incredible for me. You know, to not only be witnessing, but to also be going through it myself. And it's something that I'm going to look back on and smile very big about. And I might not seem excited, but I know inside, in my heart, in my soul, man, I'm just truly, truly excited. I'm at a loss for words. I can't even tell you what I'm feeling. You know, I just feel ready. I just feel happy. I feel at peace, and I'm just ready to rock.
Where do you think a win over Max puts you in this division? Because obviously he's not a ranked guy. He's on a bit of a losing streak, but he's a notable guy where I think a win here could get you another, like, a pretty notable guy next.
For sure. You know, I don't like to think too far ahead into the future. I know I got a good, tall task ahead of me come November 7th, and a task that I'm ready to complete. But, you know, wherever it takes me, I'm excited. You know, if it's a debutant, I'm ready. If it's a guy that has 10, 15 fights in the UFC, I'll be ready for that too, you know, especially during this COVID era. You just don't know what to expect. So, like I said, I just keep my mind open and my mind sharp, and I stay ready for anything.
Down the line, would you ever be interested in those Miguel Baez and Takeshita Soto fights, just because you were so close to having that happen, just because it's kind of like unfinished business?
For sure. You know, like I said, at the end of the day, I'm here to compete. I'm here to test my skill against the best people in the world, and I'm in the best organization in the world. I truly do feel it. And of course, if those doors open later on down the road, 100%, I'd be open to those fights.
And I don't know how much you pay attention to, like, betting odds or anything, but you're a pretty big underdog. You're about like a plus 165. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I don't know too much about underdogs, yeah. Who's over, nothing like that. None of that stuff matters to me. You know, at the end of the day, I've been an underdog in many of my fights. I've been the betting favorite before. It doesn't really matter to me. Like I said, I don't focus on that stuff. The only thing that I do focus on is the controllables, my training, and how prepared I am. So that's all I worry about. You know, it doesn't matter to me if I'm the 10-1 underdog. It is what it is. You know, I don't make those odds. I'm not the person in charge of them. I mean, it doesn't matter to me.
And just two more things. You missing that Fight Island window about 2 weeks. Are you glad that's happening, that your fight's in Vegas, or would you rather have been in Austin?
No, to be honest, you know, I really wanted to fight stateside. Of course, like I said, I'm down the road. I'm 100% open, which I do think that they will be going back to Fight Island in the near future. So 100%, you know, I would love to fight in Abu Dhabi. And, you know, it's an experience. You know, I want to have a fight internationally, you know, and in a place like Abu Dhabi, which I've heard nothing but good, and how accommodating they are to the fighters, I would 100% love to fight out there and scrap with somebody. And plus, it's tax-free money, so you ain't going to hear me complain about it.
And this is your first fight in a while, so if everything goes your way, like, is this something you'd want to just get the momentum, get a quick turnaround just to make up for some lost time?
For sure. You know, like I said, as long as I come out unscathed, injury-free, I would love to get a quick turnaround and, you know, talk to my coach, my management, everything like that, and just look for the best next best move possible. So I'm not a fortune teller, man. I can't look into the future. I can't tell you guys. I can't promise you anything. The only thing I could promise the fans and the UFC brass is that November 7th, I'm ready, just ready to go to war.
Well, Maurice, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
I really appreciate it. You have